Medical information obtained from our website or the live show is not intended to be a substitute for professional care. If your pet has or you suspect they might have an illness or other medical condition, you should consult a health care provider. The opinions expressed on this radio program are not necessarily those of All Paws Pet Talk, this radio show, or their sponsors.
And now live in this studio, it's the All Paws Pet Talk call-in radio show with a valuable knowledge and expertise of our panel guests ready to take your calls. Listen for the phone number so you may call in live. Take it away, panel.
Hello, you're listening to Smart Animal Talk on All Paws Pet Talk Radio. And today we've got a great lineup. But before we do that, I just want to tell you all, if you listen to the weather, if you're in Canada and you hear the national weather forecast, you hear the traveler's forecast wherever you are, and they've been telling you that Vancouver, BC, Canada, oh, it's suffering from fog and everyone's going crazy with the fog and they can't see. Okay, that might be true for the low-lying areas near the water. But for people like me up here at Camp Gadug in the mountains, it is incredible. We have 70 to 75 degrees and sunny skies and no clouds. And it's like hard to believe it's even fall. But I understand, Dr. Kathy, not so nice for you, huh, Dr. Kathy? Welcome to the show.
Wow, I'm jealous. Thank you. Yes, it's gray and snow pellets. And I have to turn the heat on. Where?
If this keeps up, my kids will go out trick-or-treating without ski jackets. I think for the first time ever, no raincoats, no ski jackets, just costumes. This is, like, fantastic.
That's fun. That's fun.
Are you dressing up this year, Dr. Kathy?
Nah, I'm kind of a spoiled sport. My daughter, she can't even decide. She's got three costumes to choose from.
Well, I'm dressing up. I'm going today as the mythical creature called the Super Mum. That is what I'm doing today at the carnival and school. So I'm going to be manning a booth or something, judging a contest. I don't know. So I'll be wearing oven mitts and clothespins with my first aid kit dressed as Supergirl. And we'll see how that goes over, if people understand.
Last year, I
went as the animal-friendly Ellie Mae from Beverly Hillbillies. And half the people there didn't know who that even was because they were too young. So. This year, I've changed my demographic. So we're well into talking about Halloween, Dr. Kathy, and since you sound like you're not the trick-or-treater type, can you help people stay safe? Because people make really bad decisions, I think, sometimes on Halloween with their pets.
If you're going to be opening the front door to give out goodies to the two-legged ones, then let's lock the four-legged in the back. Because there's a whole lot of noise, dogs and cats get scared. The last thing we need is someone running outside. And I swear, I think that the highest percentage of lost animals happens on Halloween. I believe Halloween and...
And thunderstorms and New Year's Eve. Yeah, those are bad days for it. And car accidents and all kinds of things. The traffic's unpredictable. The people are coming and going. They're dressed really funny. They've got food and they're dragging food. Sometimes they leave litter and goodies. Uh-huh. And I think you're going to tell us that a lot of those goodies aren't really safe, are they?
No. Everybody knows chocolate's not safe for dogs, right?
Mm-hmm.
And most of those candy bars, you could almost call it chocolate. So it's not the baker's chocolate in there. So it would take a little bit more than, you know, a piece for a dog to get sick, depending on the size of the dog. But the sugar and just all that, it's still really bad for them and it's still going to make them vomit. So if my daughter comes back with a giant bucket of candy, one, I'm trying to figure out how to get it away from her so she doesn't eat it.
Yeah.
But two, I got to keep it away from the dogs because they're going to think that this is just, you know, treasure trove. We're going to eat this with Natalie. And then they're all puking all over. So it's not just, it's quantity. It's not just chocolate. It's quantity of sugar. And they're not supposed to eat this. It's super yucky.
Well, and xylitol too, right? Isn't there an artificial sweetener that we get used to, but dogs just can't deal with it all? Cats can't deal with it
all. Yeah. So if you've got sugar-free gum in there, that's a nice way to just plain old kill your dog. Unfortunately,
oh my, really?
it's liver damage. Yeah. And if they eat a whole bunch, I had a cute little 10-pound wiener dog mix guy. This little man did it twice. Twice he got it in the sugar free gum.
Yeah, you hear about these dogs who have a thing for chocolate, and they'll just find it anywhere in the house and get into it. And, you know, it's dangerous, but they like it. But it makes them, well, they have diarrhea, vomiting, and they can have worse too, right?
If they have too much, you bet. You bet. Little 10-pound dog, eat a bag of Hershey's Kisses, bad. Labrador, eat a bag of Hershey's Kisses, and probably tolerate it. Regardless of the size of dog, you eat a 2-pound chunk of that yummy Calibo chocolate that my husband uses to bake with, they're both in trouble.
Yeah, I understand what you're saying. So it's about purity and strength and the size of a dog. These tiny little teacups doesn't take very much, does it?
Doesn't take much. That's true. It's not worth the risk. Just, you know, lock it up. Hide it from the kid. Nobody needs to eat it. Two or four-legged.
If you think that costumes are kind of your dog's thing or it's your thing, do it a different day. Just set up the costumes, the tricks, the training, take the pictures. But Halloween night is really busy, and I really don't think any dog wants to go trick-or-treating. Even the bomb-proof golden retriever who loves everybody and is never afraid of anything, still there can be broken glass you won't see that your dog then steps on. I mean, it's just not the time for the dog. He'd rather be home in a quiet place. And if you think he's that type of dog, and he should be greeting the door, then tie him up so he's not where the food is and he's not able to escape. Make sure it's safe.
Right.
What about costumes on dogs? Are you pro or con on that one?
Oh, they're cute. Costumes are cute, but I don't think that most of them are easy to walk around in. So just like you said, put it on, take the pictures, post it on Facebook, and then take it off and go for a walk.
And also, you know, there are things that it might be funny to you, but if it blocks their movement or their eyes or their nose or their mouth or they can't walk correctly, then you're just asking for trouble, right? I mean, injury or they eat it. And that's worse. That's probably the thing you get the most trouble over is things dogs and cats have eaten that they shouldn't, right? Is that a big factor? It is, isn't it?
Nope.
And I think of cats here. Those costumes that have twirly bits and frilly bits. And cats really like to eat those little bits. That's not good.
They do. They like the rubber bands and they like the little tag things, those little plastic things the tags come on. And then they like to eat them. And I can't see them on an x-ray. And now we've got a big problem. Yeah.
Oh, you have to go in to find why. Oh, that's terrible. Yep. I bet lab work doesn't show it either.
Nope.
So prevention here is key. Yeah, the best thing to do is just don't let your dogs and cats participate in Halloween. Keep them safe. Keep them out of it. If you want to walk them to school this week or early next week in costume, well, that's something different. But during the mayhem, when you're really focused on your kids, and no matter what's going on with your dog, you're going to have to keep trick-or-treating or deal with a kid who's not behaving properly or something like that. You can't be focused on your dog. So, you know, really, you don't want a designated grown-up to keep your dog happy the whole night long. So I think you've already got one minding the door and one minding the kids. You're already kind of splitting the work. Would you like to come back a little bit, Dr. Kathy? Can we deal with some of our other problems? Okay, stay tuned, everybody. We'll be back with Dr. Kathy Alanovi on Smart Animal Talk, All Paws Pet Talk Radio with me, Deb Wolf. I'm going to ask her about a husband and wife situation where the husband is just stink. We'll talk soon on Smart Animal Talk. And anytime you're near, I love you.
When it comes to health expenses, dog owners have it rough. Now, thanks to veterinarian and dermatologist Dr. Kristen Holm, your dog can be goo healthy. There's Doggy Goo to fight environmental pet allergies, Goo Gut Rescue for rescuing your dog's gut health, and Goo Silver, a broad-spectrum supplement for the special needs of your senior varsity dog. So visit HealthyGoo.com today or call 855-246-2426, and your dog can be healthy goo healthy.
NuVet Plus, your pet's best friend. NuVet Plus is an immune system builder that is safe for all stages of your dog's life. helps eliminate most issues, including allergies, scratching and itching, hot spots, arthritis and joint issues, chronic ear infections, tear staining, lack of energy, digestive issues, and so much more. All natural, manufactured in an FDA-registered human pharmaceutical lab here in the USA, using ingredients sourced in the USA. Nothing artificial, no sugars, wheat, corn, or dyes. Never heat-treated to help retain all the natural, rich ingredients. Comes with a 60-day money-back guarantee and is only pennies a day. Call us Monday through Friday, 7 a.m. to 5 p.m. Pacific Time. 1-800-474-7044. That's 1-800-474-7044. And tell them you are referred by All Paws Pet Talk Radio. Or go online to www.nuvet.com. That's www.nuvet.com. Use order code 33955. Again, www.nuvet.com. Order code 33955. Put your pet on the path to good health.
Does your dog have muddy, dirty paws? Well, here's your answer. The Paw Wash cleans dog's paws fast and easy. Just insert your dog's paw and leg into the device and pump up and down. The Paw Wash's unique hourglass design creates a suction of power that pulls that dirt, mud, sand, or salt off the paw and leg, and it stays in the device. You can clean all four paws in a little over a minute with just one fill. For retail or online sales, go to www.thepawwash.com. That's www.thepawwash.com.
With Dav Wolf, I'm calling in from Vancouver, BC, actually Camp Good Dog up in the mountains of Maple Ridge near Vancouver, BC. And we're talking to Dr. Kathy Alanovi over there in Indiana. And I was just asking her something because I got an email from a listener asking me, are your ladybugs orange with less spots than when we were kids, as opposed to red when we were kids with more spots? And do they burn you when they land on you? And I thought that sounded horrible. So I don't think that's true here. My kids and I, we still catch ladybugs and let them land on us. But Dr. Kathy, is this what's going on over there?
Well, you must have like the last great reservoir of honest to goodness ladybugs left. Because what we have down here, I've been told these are Asian beetles. So they accidentally came across the ocean, God knows how, and they outcompete the ladybugs, and so there aren't really much ladybugs left. And yeah, they're orange and they're acid.
Oh, that's terrible. That's like a little kid's nightmare. I mean, you let them on your hand and you sing this little rhyme, ladybug, ladybug, fly away home. It's not a very nice rhyme, but you sing this little rhyme and then you wait until they fly away, or you blow on them until they fly away. I guess we better get that game out of circulation. Maybe it already is.
Yeah. I don't know, because it doesn't sound the same. Fly away home, little Asian beetle.
Yeah, burn me and then go on your way. I don't think so. Okay, so that changes things. Are there lots of animals? I guess there are lots of invaders. We hear about those flying fish and the giant frogs, and really people should not release something that they had as a pet where they live, should they?
Yeah, and no carp into the rivers, and how about the little cute little baby alligators, crocodiles, whatever it is that's taking over. Mm. Yeah, and the snakes. Oh, when my snake fits 10 feet, I'm just going to let it go free.
When that's, it's too heavy for me to dance with it. Are you talking about your other career, Dr. Kathy? Did you give up?
No, I've been keeping that under wraps.
Yeah, because, you know, my dancing career ended when my snake got too big. No, of course not. There was an interesting...
You did Ellie Mae last year, so...
I did do Ellie Mae last year, but I did it with little talking hamsters and things from my daughter's collection of little fur critters stuffed in my pocket. You know, there was something really strange that happened the other day here in one of our suburbs. Someone put out a trap meaning to catch rats in a very non-humane way, so that's not cool. And they could have used a humane trap instead, but they didn't. But what they caught was a species that they thought was no longer here, a spotted skunk, a skunk with spots. And so they're going to rehabilitate this thing and let it go. And another thing that happened, which was kind of mixed, a sea otter was shot. But the Vancouver Aquarium is making sure it recovers. And it was really shot badly, shot many, many times. And I think when they find out who did it, they're going to be quite surprised that the the fine can be up to $100,000 because...
Good. Just, why would you shoot a sea otter? They're cute.
Because they eat your fish. I'll tell you why. It's because they eat the fish and the salmon are running and people want the fish. So they're in competition. But that's cheating, guys. That's cheating.
Right.
You know, these people pride themselves on fair competition. That is cheating. That is just $100,000 worth of cheating, and I sure hope they catch them. But the sea otter will recover. Probably never be released, though. It's blind in one eye. It may lose both eyes. It lost part of one flipper. I mean, it's really shot up, you know? Terrible stuff.
Oh, wow. That's crazy.
Yeah, but at least the aquarium's there to fix it, do the right thing by this little guy. And maybe it'll end up becoming a little ambassador, you know, and teaching people if worse comes to worse and it doesn't get to go. We had some elephants relocated from the zoo up here, finally, in Toronto, to go to California, and they're covering it. There's all kinds of YouTube coverage of their journey and stuff on TV, too. But I was so happy to see that. I don't like seeing animals in the wrong habitat. What do you think about that?
Well, you know, so you want to talk about zoos?
Well, this particular zoo is world-renowned and all that stuff. But no matter what, if you're in a cold, wintry place and you've got desert animals, it's just not quite right, you know? They're going to be out there somewhere else.
And what do you do with the white rhino that there are, 1,700 left in the world or something, some terribly small number? And they can go for years and never see someone of the opposite species. And so how do you make more? And so, then the pluses and minuses of zoos, and we keep these animals alive. And I don't know that there is a good answer. There is no right answer. Everything we do, it's humans, we get in the middle of it and then afterwards go, oh, maybe we shouldn't have done that, but it's too late, and now a species is wiped out, or we have three of them left in the zoo. And then how do you make more without genetic problems? And so we don't do a lot of planning. We humans try to apologize.
Yeah, but then when at least some of the zoos, some of the places now are helping in conservation efforts. You know, maybe there should be more research done about and doing them earlier, but I don't know. I mean, long-term, whether that's a solution or not, but especially when it's our doing, war or something like that, that causes a species trouble. I like to see it rehabilitated to the point where it can be re-released when the area is not torn up by war and that kind of thing. And so maybe that is the future for zoos. But I wanted to tell you, I want to talk to you about this situation I have here with some animals. And I was thinking of it in human terms. Have you ever met a woman who was just fantastic, you know, fit and pretty and successful and everything all together? And then she had this like stinky, disgusting buffoon caveman of a husband. Have you ever met a couple like that?
That's me and my husband.
Oh no, you're in trouble now, Dr. Gabby. Don't let him listen. We have, at Camp Good Dog, we have some pygmy goats, and we breed pygmy goats from time to time. And right now, you know, I love the pygmy goats, the females. They're just like little deer. They hardly smell at all, and they're ever so sweet. Well, their male, their husband, has come to visit. And oh my God, he is like the most foul, disgusting, stinkiest creature on the face of the earth. Really, he pees on himself. He reeks. And he is just totally handsome to them.
He likes it. Exactly. I think his pee on himself is men at the gym sweating and, you know, that sweat glistening on their muscles. It's a completely different thing. And he knows he smells good. If you see him, he pees on himself and then he sniffs and he curls his lip up and he goes, oh, yeah, baby.
That's right. He totally does that. And then they rub up against him like he's potpourri or something. And to me, I mean, he reeks like, I don't know, like rotting skunk or something. He's just terrible, terrible, terrible. You can't even drink a coffee outside without tasting goat. Like, he's just horrible. Oh, how can it be the same species? How can that be?
I don't know, but she thinks he's hot. So what do you do?
I'm so lucky I'm not a goat. Well, Dr. Kathy, we've run out of time. Where can they reach you, Dr. Kathy?
DrKathyVet.com, DrCathyVet.com. Send me an email, and I will answer your questions.
Thank you very much. Until next time, have a great Halloween, and thank you again, Dr.
Thanks,
Kathy.
Tim.
Okay. All right, everybody, stay tuned to Smart Animal Talk, All Paws Pet Talk Radio. We'll be talking some more, and I want to tell you about a bobcat warning, so stay tuned.
I'm your doggy.
I'm your doggy.
And I love you.
Get in on the fun and the rewards of caring for animals as a professional. Train to be a pet groomer or a veterinary assistant at the Florida Institute of Animal Arts. Turn your love for animals into a lifelong career. There are thousands of jobs in the growing professions of pet groomer and veterinary assistant. We help place graduates. Ask about tuition financing. The Florida Institute of Animal Arts, Winter Park, 407-869-PETS. On the web at myfiaa.com.
As a dog owner, you know that dogs can eat just about anything. But when food becomes a health troublemaker, or your animal has been on antibiotics or heavy meds, or GI issues set in, your animal's gut may be out of balance and needs Goo Gut Rescue. Goo Gut Rescue is 100% natural and veterinarian prebiotic and probiotic formulated to rescue your animal's gut from bad bug dominance. Remember, your dog's total health begins with gut health. Don't delay. Visit GooGutRescue.com.
Hello, you're listening to Smart Animal Talk, All Paws Pet Talk Radio, and I'm talking with Karen Watts from Pet of the Day, Dog of the Day, Cat of the Day.com, and I think you've got some news for us about a new way to send in our animals. Can you fill me in, Karen?
Yeah, you know, we redid the whole submission process, and now you can do it right from our website. You don't have to send a separate email or anything. We put a form right there under the same place where it says nominate your pet. And there's a form right there. And I even this time, now we have a series of questions. A lot of times people will send in a photo of their dog and say, you know, my dog is the best dog in the world, and that's why he's special. And so we always, you know, respond back with, can you tell us more about your dog? Why is he the best dog in the world? Why is he special to you? So I, go ahead.
Okay, so it was a little too vague. People were not giving you enough information. So now.
Yeah, we you know, put the form up with separate fields for, you know, the age, the breed of dog, if you know it, and I put some questions up to get people thinking about why their dog is special to them, and a whole block of text where you can type as much as you want.
If you're the kind of person who likes your shot of cuteness every day, you like to just see pictures of dogs or cats or birds or hamsters, and you like to be surprised, then this is a good site for you to have hooked up so that every day you can see what the pet of the day is. Because you never know. It could be a rabbit or a guinea pig or a dog or a cat or a horse or a pony. There's always a dog, there's always a cat, and there's always something else, right?
There is. And, you know, if you're the type of person who's afraid of, say, snakes, we recommend that you go to Dog of the Day first, see the cute dog that's there. And if we have a little icon on the side for today's cat and today's pet, and if it's the creepy crawly icon, you know, if you're a snake or a spider person, you just shouldn't go see today's pet.
Oh, that's interesting you should say that. Years and years ago, I was a judge at one of those contests, a very important pet contest, VIP contest. And there were different winners, you know, like a seeing eye dog won when he was being retired. It was a big prize. It was a year's worth of dog food and vet care from IAMS. It was like a big, big deal. But and one was a mastiff named Hunch who'd, you know, found all these people in snowdrifts and you know, helped in detectives with finding things underwater and all this sort of stuff. He could smell something 80 feet under a river that was running, and all that was fine with everybody, but the picture they chose for the front of the section of the newspaper was the most children visited at a school winner, who was a snake. And he was called number seven, I think. It was before Seven of Nine on Star Trek, but he was called number seven, I believe, Seven of 11 or something like that. And he was just a yellow and green snake. But they made me stick a medal actually around his neck, which is not easy to do with a snake, and sort of act like I was kissing him, which I wasn't really. But anyway, people were just horrified by the whole thing. So people do have a really strong reaction, don't they?
They really do, you know. And the first time we had a snake on Pet of the Day, we had people who just said, I can't ever visit your website again. I had a panic attack at my desk at work. So we decided to make this whole system. And it also is the same for spiders. And actually,
oh, that's interesting. It's a huge phobia, isn't it? Like a real heart racing, you know, the way some people get when they go up in a plane or on an elevator in a tight space. It's a true phobia, but it's really widespread. I didn't realize. I mean, my kids used to like that bug place, you know, the place they have in most cities where the kids go and they have a birthday party and they get to hold centipedes and, you know, draw a lady.
We have one of those here, Deb.
We have one here. And God, I mean, for me, that was like purgatory. It was like, oh God, how do I put on a smiley face and put up with this for 2 hours? I would want to shower and shower and shower. I'd want to shower everything, wash my car. The whole thing just gave me the creeps, right? So I have it a little bit, but not that much. A snake doesn't bother me, a turtle doesn't bother me, a frog doesn't bother me. It's interesting how specific we are. Does anything bother you, Karen? You pet lady, pet of the day lady? Are you going to admit to it? Is there anything that, because I'm not the great at like cockroaches, there's no way. No way. I don't care if they're bedazzled, bejeweled. I don't care how fancy they are. I don't want to touch them. I really don't. And if they hiss, that's worse. If they fly, I'm leaving the building. No. What about you?
The only things that, I mean, I will hold bugs, I will hold snakes. There are only two critters on God's green earth that I do not like, and that would be slugs and leeches. If there's a slug.
Not a problem for me. I can bait a hook. Uh-oh, I'm going to get in trouble for this. But I can bait a hook with either of those things without any trouble. Yep, no problem there.
Nope. If there's a slug in the garden when I was a child, I would call over one of my brothers to come and kill it. If it was on like a leaf or something, I could pick the leaf and put the leaf out in the street so it would get run over.
We have the biggest slugs you could ever imagine. We have slugs like longer than the width of a man's hand. I mean, they're like 10 centimeters long, like 5-6 inches, and they get really fat and disgusting. And if you happen to step on them, they squish and if you just touch them, even if you don't step on them, you get this slime coating. They leave a slime trail. They eat your vegetables and they eat the stalk.
No,
they'll go right over to a cantaloupe plant or something that could have, you know, many, many fruits on it, and they'll eat the stalk. They'll eat an inch of it, but it's exactly the inch that the rest of the plant needs. The very bottom of the main part of the plant kill the whole thing. Yes, they're infuriating. But you know what they like? They like little containers full of beer. And if you don't have leftover beer, because I don't drink beer, you can make a solution of sugar water with yeast, like bread making yeast. And you mix that all up and you put some holes at the top, like the sides, but the top of the sides of the container. And they'll crawl in and they'll get drunk and they'll stay there. And then I feed them to my chickens and they have gourmet beer flavored skin. And slugs, because I don't like them at all, but I totally get you on that. So for you, it's a texture thing, isn't it?
It really is, and a why do they exist sort of thing. And
it's a movement thing for me. The cockroaches, the scurry, that's just not cool for me.
Oh, but if like a puppy scurries across the floor, you're fine with it. Just cockroaches are too small
puppies
and shiny.
Don't scurry. No. They scamper. They wiggle. They don't scurry. What kind of puppies do you? My puppies are adorable. In fact, if people want to see my puppies, they can go to Facebook and look at Camp Good Dog. We have a litter of golden doodles. It's about a month old. They just started eating their first food along with nursing. And they are not scurrying like cockroaches. Good Lord. You've been looking at the wrong puppies, Karen. Okay, well, this has been Karen at Pet of the Day, Cat of the Day, Dog of the Day.com. And if you've got a cute animal, why don't you check it out? Or if you don't, then you probably need to look at cute animals, right, Karen?
That's right. If you really would love to have a cat and horrifically allergic to them, like I am, whose doctor has shaken her finger at me and said, don't you even dare, you could go to catoftheday.com every day and have no allergic reaction whatsoever.
Oh, that's sad. You need a standard poodle. That's what I say to all that. Yes, or a golden doodle. You need something you won't be allergic to that's warm and cuddly. More cuddly than a picture. All right, everybody. Well, stay tuned. We'll have Karen back in a little while. She's hosting her own show now, so you can tune into her on All Paws Pet Talk Radio. Thanks for joining us today on Smart Animal Talk, Karen.
You're welcome. Glad to be here.
Okay, thanks. We'll have her back again soon. And today we're going to continue with Halloween topics with Dr. Carol. And I'm going to ask her about goats. Coming up on Smart Animal Talk, All Paws Pet Talk Radio with Deb Wolf. And anytime you're near,
our dogs are part of our family, an integral part of our lives, providing comfort, exercise, and companionship. All too often, however, this relationship is tested through dog naughtiness and general poor behavior. Our dog does not come when called, digs the garden, and many other issues that create frustration and a break in the relationship we seek. You love him, but you don't like him. Today's e-callers remote trainers have been developed to help you train your dog and overcome these issues that can result in separation from the family and worse. E-collar technology has been developed to help the everyday dog owner. Collars that set limit on the levels of stimulation and therefore limiting mistakes. If you seek a training aid that will assist you overcome the unwanted issues, e-collar technology products have developed dog training technology for the modern world that uses the lowest levels of distractive stimulus to improve behavior and reduce stress. www.ecollar.com. That's www.ecollar.com.
Attention all pet lovers! Do you love your furry pet? Well, I want to introduce to you Paws and Silk, the first all-natural silk-filled pet bedding and apparel line that helps improve your pet's overall health and wellness. Paws and Silk is made using luxurious long-stranded silk and all-natural breathable cotton. Each product will help keep your pet cool and comfortable all year long. Paws and Silk pet beds and coats will also work as a barrier against dust mites and other allergens. Not only are they fashionable, but they also don't take on your pet's odor. Better yet, they're even machine washable. So, folks, here's what I want you to do. Visit Paws and Silk website at pawsandsilk.com to learn more about Paws and Silk and their incredible products. That's pawsnsilk.com. You can buy directly from the site, and they even ship all over North America. How easy is that? For more information, go to pawsandsilk.com or call their toll-free number, 877-678-7455.
Hello, we're back on Smart Animal Talk, All Paws Pet Talk Radio, and Dr. Carol just told me she doesn't do goats. Well, I need to go to a, I don't know, a goat nose and throat doctor or something. I thought all vets did all animals, but this is more of a animal mating type of question, generically kind of question. We were talking with Dr. Kathy Alanovi at the start of the show about a goat situation, and I wanted to know, are there other species besides goats where the girl version is kind of lovely and tame and timid and sweet and inoffensive in every way, and the male counterpart is this offensive, stinky, disgusting, horrible by human standards animal? Is this just goats? Because, I mean, really, the difference. I cannot get it. I have a male goat visiting for the week to get my girls pregnant, and I am just amazed at how disgusting he is in his habits and how impressed they are with him.
Yes. you know, that odor, which is which once you smell it, you'll never forget it because it's truly dreadful.
I'm not sure I'll eat goat cheese again. I think that's it for me.
Yeah, no, I can't eat goat cheese myself. But yeah, the smell is horrible. It, you know, is all the odor, you know, because of, you know, the male scent glands. Certainly that plays a huge factor in it. And there are some species, you know, in addition to goats, skunks, for example, everybody's familiar with, that people that keep skunks as pet, you know, they remove those anal glands to get rid of that odor. So
you know, the same as ferrets. That's right. Eh?
Yeah. Yeah. It's the same thing in ferrets. In fact, when people go fox hunting, for those of you that might be into horses and fox hunting, a lot of times when we don't have a real fox to chase, they simply drag the scent of the fox, you know, which is again, you know, heavy anal gland secretions that the dogs, you know, pick up the scent and, you know, run like crazy. So there's a lot of species that you know, have very strong scents, you know, for the purpose of procreation. Certainly, you know, to you or I, it's extremely, to say the least, offensive. But Mother Nature has its ways of maintaining and preserving the, you know, the species and making sure that reproduction continues. And that smell is just part of the game.
It just seems like such a mismatch. They are just so pleasant and lovely, and he is so stinky. I mean, they just don't seem like the same thing, really.
But yeah, no, the odor is dreadful. I will grant you that. But other than removing his scent glands and taking care of his masculinity, I'm afraid that my knowledge,
he's here for a couple more days. That's
yeah,
it.
There's
to somebody else's farm. He's quite good at this.
Not
he's
much
popular.
Work to do about that.
So I wanted to make sure everybody near Squamish who listens to the show online, because we got a couple emails this morning, out near Alice Lake, there was a bobcat spotted. And the person walking near Jack's Trail had two off-leash dogs. Dogs are fine. They got away. They were off-leash. They had no problems. They were big dogs. But a bobcat coming so close to people is not a good thing. So don't take your dogs there. Don't take your kids there. Just stay away from there till you hear more about it. Okay, so Dr. Carol, what did you want to talk about today?
Well, there was a couple things. You had talked to me a little bit about the activists releasing dogs from a laboratory in Brazil.
Oh, yeah. They were a bunch of beagles. And I wanted to ask you, why does it always seem to be beagles or so often? And then what's the state of things that way? Are we still using products that animals have been hurt by predominantly?
You know, in many cases, animal testing has stopped, but certainly for many products, animal testing continues. Beagles are the most popular breed of dog used for all these clinical trials and tests, et cetera. You know, in my opinion, mostly because it's a dog that's a small, easy to contain, you know, size. And lab wise, it just works out, you know, genetically and otherwise that
small
breed is,
but not fragile. That's
right.
Kind of the thing, right? It's that if they
kind of
smaller if they could, but the dog wouldn't withstand the testing.
Yeah, it's kind of a small, easy to work with breed that just fits for a lot of these situations. And this situation in Brazil, you know, where the activists have you know, brought this to the forefront, is just one of many situations that still are going on, not necessarily in the United States, but, you know, across the world. Testing does still go on, and that's something that will, you know, continue to be brought to our attention, you know, as the time goes by, and for consumers, you know, trying to help stop pets from being used in research, you know, not buying those particular products and, you know,
it's
writing
kind of
letters.
An ethical question too. Are the people involved, like the Greenpeace people right now held in jail in Russia, they were supposed to be, I think, terrorists and then downgraded to, what was it? Something that sounds like mischief, but it's worse. I can't remember what their downgraded charge, but they're still charged with something serious. They could face 7 years. And the Greenpeace activists. And like, are these people heroes or criminals? It's kind of an ethical thing we all have to figure out, don't we?
You know, that's a really good point. And I think that still kind of remains to be seen. Have you heard, Deb, about the little Przewalski's horse that has been cloned?
No.
What's this?
This
it
is.
It was hooliganism, by the way. I just looked it up. They're accused of hooliganism, these people who are putting their bodies where their beliefs are. I don't think they're hooligans. But okay, so let's hear about this horse. Why would you clone a horse, first
of all?
Well,
this is really cool. This isn't just any horse. This was done through the Morris Animal Health Foundation and researchers at the Smithsonian Conservation Biology Institute in Virginia have been studying this little endangered, it's a PR Zewalski, Przewalski horse for two decades. At one time, these little horses were extinct, but since they were reintroduced to their native habitat in Mongolia, they have actually impregnated this little Annie with fresh sperm, and after 340 days, the little foal was born on July the 27th, and I thought that was pretty exciting.
Wow, it's kind of freaky science, though.
Yeah.
So why is she chosen? Because she's a similar kind of generic breed of a same type, where they think his traits will dominate?
Well, this is a horse that was extinct, that had just got reintroduced, and what they did is they used artificial insemination to impregnate, you know, this little foal, and this is let's see, it says they were sitting around on pins and needles waiting for the little one to come, and they're studying the reproductive physiology of this little horse. They defined the ovarian characteristics and the hormonal patterns. And what they were studying is using hormone therapy to manipulate the estrus or the heat cycle in these Przewalski mares to try to determine about sperm cryopreservation.
Dr. Carroll, we have to continue
and blah,
this
blah,
after
blah.
The break. Okay, we have to continue this after the break. We're going to talk more about this little horse that I think was cloned and then impregnated, and maybe talk about gene pool issues with this kind of science. But I guess we have no choice when there's so few left. Stay tuned. Smart Animal Talk on All Paws Pet Talk Radio.
I'm your doggy.
I'm your doggy.
And I love you.
For your dogs, running beside your bike is more rewarding canine exercise than any walk. It's also more dangerous. Until now. Introducing the amazingly stable Bike Toe Leash, the only safe dog biking attachment approved by the American Pet Association. The Bike Toe Leash installs in seconds on bikes, trikes, power chairs, and mobility scooters. No tools needed, and dogs learn it immediately. With a Bike Toe Leash, both dogs and rider can enjoy fun recreation anywhere, no matter what your ability level. To learn more and order your Bike Toe Leash, visit BikeToeLeash.com. That's BikeToeLeash.com. Bike Toe Leashes are made in the USA and ship worldwide. That website again is BikeToeLeash.com.
Treat your furry best friend with a clear conscience. Clear Conscience Pet, that is. Everything made by this family-owned company is artisan-crafted in the USA. From family-farmed ingredient sources, holistically formulated for your pet's best health. And just plain delicious. Their treats, chews, and the amazing super gravy food topper for dogs and cats are simply the best you can buy. And the company has won 5 National Nutrition Awards to prove it. Now, Clear Conscience Pet is launching the Sliders brand, a true breakthrough in meaty treats featuring the purest tender meat treat ever made. No grain, no gluten, no glycerin or other chemicals found in typical moist treats. Sliders are pub fun snacks made from lean meats, nutritionally optimized with omega-rich organic flax and veggies. Enter the offer code RADIO at checkout and save 20% at clearconsciencepet.com. Your pets will love you for it.
Hello! I'm laughing too hard to howl because we're talking to Smart Animal Talk, All Paws Pet Talk Radio, talking to Dr. Carroll. And right before we come on air, right before I'm supposed to say hello like that, I hear her say every person with a dog should stop their heartworm medicine and get themselves a personal bath. Where do you go with that? I get all my notes and the topics we have to continue and the guy with the cat that screams when it poops and okay, what? Say what? What are you talking about, Dr. Carroll? We gotta get a personal bat, like Batman? Like what?
Well, you know, this is just silly stuff. But the fact of the matter is, there is something called the white nose syndrome, and it's an unknown fungus that has killed 7 million bats, seen in 22 states and 5 Canadian provinces. And the fungus kills the bats by disrupting their ability to hibernate in the winter. So the disease is called this white nose syndrome because the bats infected with the fungus have these white fuzzy growths all over their eyes and their ears and their little nose. And so bats are disappearing, folks. But remember that bats are a big deal because they eat all kinds of mosquitoes.
And they come out when all the bugs are out and all the other things that eat bugs aren't. So they're good. At night, sometimes I can throw something. And if I warm it up with my hands like a tennis ball, make it really, really warm and then throw it in the air, the bats will kind of swarm it for a second so I can see them. Or if I go down when the light is just changing and I can have like a bright sky behind me, but it's sort of dark, you know, then you can really, really see them. I think people would be surprised how many places bats are. And you don't see them. It's not just country.
No, it's a big deal. You know, in addition to the mosquitoes that they eat and they get rid of these crop damaging insects, they help to spread seeds and pollinate crops. So the cave flora and the fauna that depend on the bats are also in danger of collapsing. And that, along with these little premature horses, is being studied through grants from the Morris Animal Health Foundation.
Oh, nice. Okay. So I've been cutting jack-o'-lanterns, and while I was doing that recently, I got an email from that longboarding guy with the cat that called us from the train station. Okay, his kitten no longer screams when it poops, thanks
to good.
Adding, yeah, he added yogurt, and he added pumpkin, and now the cat likes to eat just chunks of raw pumpkin, he says. So he wants to know how much is too much. You know, he's been giving it yogurt, he's been giving it vegetables, he's been giving it canned cat food, and lately it's been helping itself to the butter. So he wants to know, like, what should he do with all that?
Well, he should start feeding his kitten normally. With respect to eating chunks of pumpkin, that's probably not the best thing to do. Over about 5 to 8% of pumpkin in the diet, it can bind up minerals and leave you mineral depleted. So just, you know, get the kitty some fun things. You know, it sounds like a pretty outgoing cat. So, you know, whether it's little alfalfa to sprouts to chew on, or, you know, veggies and fruit, those things are all fine, but just don't go crazy with the pumpkin.
What about yogurt for dogs and for cats? Because I give yogurt to my pets too. I want to know, you know, the cats seem to just lick it till the bowl is clean, but I have quite a few cats. I don't think they're overdoing it. You know, is there too much?
No, I don't think so. The thing to remember about yogurt is that it is a milk-based product, so that it has lactose. And if you have an animal that's lactose intolerant, you might get a little bit of diarrhea. But the big thing is, if you're buying organic yogurt, it's got those nice live bacterial cultures filled with Acidophilus, for example. Those are probiotics. Those are the friendly bacteria that line the colon and help you to absorb the previous digested nutrients. So that's good all the time. Buy some yogurt that's got a nice flavor your pet might like, with a little fruit or whatnot, and offering a dog or a cat, you know, a teaspoon or a half a teaspoon daily, or just as a little snack, is a very healthy, well thought of treat that's very good for their bodies.
I was watching on the news lately, they were talking about a problem in gyms with people using a drug to get skinny, and the drug is called clenbuterol, and apparently it's a drug for cows. Do you know anything about this drug? It gives people shakes and eye twitches and all kinds of weird symptoms, but they take it because it makes them skinny. Do you know anything about it?
Yeah, like, absolutely.
When would it be used?
Clenbuterol is like albuterol for our pet-loving listeners that might have asthma or a little respiratory condition. I think that many of them would be familiar with albuterol, which is in those asthma inhalers. It's a bronchodilator. Clenbuterol is available as a liquid, perhaps as a tablet too. It dilates the air passageways between the mouth and nose to the lungs so that we can breathe more easily, again, for people that have various respiratory disorders, asthma in particular. So any type of a bronchodilator, the side effect is your heart rate elevates. You know, it's a little bit of an up. So I think that those people in the gym, you know, may be looking to get a little boost of energy. They'd probably be better off to drink a cup of coffee than too much clenbuterol because at some point it will cause heart palpitations and I think could actually cause further harm if abused, including strokes and heart attacks. So that's probably a good thing to avoid.
People are having some major problems with this. Okay, so Dr. Carol, before we run out of time, I'd love to invite you to give your contact information to everyone listening. If you want to get a hold of Dr. Carol, this is how you do it.
Absolutely. You can give our office a call. We're here in Chagrin Falls, Ohio, USA. Our toll-free line is 1-866-DR-CAROL. That's 866-372-2765. You can also visit us online at carolonpets.com. We offer pet health consultations and answer pet health questions for dogs and cats. So give us a call or log on to our website.
Dr. Carol, you said jokingly we should all get a bat for our dog.
Well, I was just kind of joking because we've got so many issues with the heartworm and the flea products and all these dogs having terrible reactions to the products that they put in. I take all kinds of calls for people looking for natural alternative for fleas and ticks and mosquitoes. And obviously there isn't one that you can, bet your money on 100%. So I was just bringing attention to these little bats that are becoming scarce and, making a little joke.
But I think there are online free kits. Instead of making a bird feeder, you can make a bat house. I think there are some products you can avoid using. There's got to be information. There's got to be ways we can be more helpful to the bats because it's not a question of, bees and birds will do their work for them. They're out when certain plants need them to be out and nothing else is. So you really got to factor that in.
Absolutely. And all this particular article, wasn't really addressing that fact. It was just letting us know how important bats are and that we've got this crazy fungus that everyone's trying to figure out where it came from and how to get rid of it because it's causing a dramatic effect in the bat population, which is a big thing with respect to our ecology and the whole our whole system's balance, which right now is in a little bit of a topsy-turvy condition. And remember, guys, it's going to be Halloween pretty soon, so put your pet health IQs on and be smart when it comes to trick-or-treating this upcoming holiday weekend. And remember to keep black cats inside and have an ID. Don't give your pet any of that crazy candy. And if you got all kinds of electric wires, keep them taped securely to the floor or covered so your pet doesn't chew them or get an electric shock. And watch out for eating all the pumpkins and the decorative corn because they will cause a stomach ache. And just like this little kitty that was constipated, if you eat enough of those pumpkin chunks, it will constipate you and can even cause an intestinal obstruction. So you don't want to do that. Yeah. And remember, if you've got old pets or young pets, not all pets like being dressed up with costumes.
No
rubber bands. Make sure they can see and make sure that their movement is not restricted.
Nice. Thank you. Okay, everybody, have a safe and happy and healthy Halloween. Be good to your animals. From Dr. Carol and me, Deb Wolf, on Smart Animal Talk, All Paws Pet Talk Radio. And anytime you're-